Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
For those of you that's been with us this month, at least, you know, the beginning of the month, we started a new series titled, Who Are We? And in this series, Who Are We? We've just been reminding ourselves about who we are as a church, and just really focusing on and looking at vision and the vision that God has given us, but just refocusing ourselves just on vision, period. You know, for any organization, for any business, any company, any religious organizations, it's very important that you have a vision and that you also have a mission, and that those things are listed somewhere within the organization, that your vision is listed, that your mission is very clear to people so that they understand. The Bible tells us that to write the vision down so that those that can read it, they can run with it. And run with it means that they can be able to manage it, they can make sure they keep it valid, that they can make sure that it's in operation. And so it's very important as an organization that we understand and that we continue to remind ourselves about our vision and about our mission statement. And our mission statement basically lays out and defines our job, our responsibility as an organization, and our vision. It lays out our identity. It tells who we are, while the mission tells what we do. And so every year I spend some time and I talk about vision and I talk about our mission and so forth. And so today I want to start off by talking about a story in the Bible, and particularly about this one guy by the name of Naaman. And so Naaman, you know, he was a great commander in the army of this army that was called Ammon. And one of the things about him and him being a great commander, he was a great warrior. And he also had leprosy. In spite of him having leprosy, it did not enable him or disable him. He still rose to the ranks of being a great commander. He still rose to the ranks of being a great warrior, even with dealing with this disease that's called leprosy. There was this time where Ammon had invaded the country of Israel. And when they did, Naaman had actually taken this Israelite woman to be his wife's maid. And throughout a period of time, the maid, she was speaking to Naaman's wife, and she said to him, she said, "Hey, I wish that he would go to Israel and speak to the prophet, because if he did, he could get healed of his leprosy." So evidently there was some type of a relationship developed where she had a deep concern and care for him to even suggest such a thing. So Naaman, he heard, you know, he got this word from her that there was a prophet in Israel that could heal him of his leprosy. And so he talked to the king of Ammon, accountable to. He said, "Hey, you know, I hear that there's this prophet down in Israel, and if I go see him, that he would actually be able to heal me of the leprosy." So the king, having such admiration for this commander in his army, this great warrior, he had such great respect for him. He cared about him a lot. And he said, please, go down there, go to Israel, see this prophet, and so you can get healed. He said, "But I want you to take some gold with you. I want you to take some silver with you. I want you to take some precious fabrics with you and give these to the king of Israel as a gift of a token of my appreciation for allowing you to go there and to seek healing for your leprosy." So Naaman went to Israel. He met with the king of Israel. He shared with him, you know, he gave him those gifts from the king of Ammon. He also shared with him about a word that he got from his wife's maid. And that was that there was a prophet there in Israel, and that if he was to go see that prophet, he can get healed. Well, there's a lot of things that happened. Actually, the king of Israel got upset about that because he thought the king of Ammon was trying to start a fight or trying to pick a fight. But anyway, long story short is this. The king of Israel, you know, he agreed and allowed him or granted him permission to go see the prophet. The prophet, his name was Elisha. And so the king told him, he said, okay, go ahead and see Elisha. This is where he lived, gave him directions. He went to his house. And so Naaman gets to Elisha's house. And this is where things are going to get interesting right here, okay? He gets to Elisha's house. Elisha had already received a word that this commander from the army of Ammon is coming to visit him, to seek him for, you know, some assistance. So he already knew what he was coming for and what have you. Naaman gets there. Elisha sends out a messenger. Elisha did not come outside to greet him, did not come outside to meet her or anything. He sends a messenger outside and he said, hey, this is what I want you to do. Go tell that guy out there, his name is Naaman. Go tell him to go wash in the Jordan River for 7 times. And he said, after he washed 7 times in the Jordan River, then he's going to be healed. Okay. So the messenger goes outside. He tells Naaman, and Naaman got his own. Now keep in mind, he's a commander in an army. And so he's got his whole entourage with him, right? So he's got his whole entourage with him. They on their horses, their chariots or whatever it is that they ride, you know, whatever. And this messenger comes outside and says, and greets him and says, the prophet Elisha says that for you to go and to wash in the Jordan River, once you wash in the Jordan River for 7 times, then you will be healed of your leprosy. Well, this didn't sit well with Naaman. Naaman got upset. Naaman got mad. Naaman was actually furious. He was so angry that Elisha didn't even respect him enough to come out and greet him. He's a commander. He deserves the respect, right? It's just like a politician coming to your house. It's just like, you know, a senator coming to your house, you know, because they need you for something. And instead of you coming out, you send one of your kids out to deliver the message, you know? And so this he was very upset. He was angry because Elijah did not respect him. So he felt that Elijah did not respect him enough to come out and deliver the message himself. He was also angry because Elijah told him to go wash in the Jordan River. And if you know anything about the Jordan River, which I don't know a whole lot about the Jordan River, but evidently, at least during this time, it wasn't the cleanest river, okay? Naaman was from Ammon, and evidently there was some rivers or some streams or some lakes or something there that was much cleaner, or even in the region of Israel, there was places that was much cleaner, much nicer, much more tropical, you know what I mean? It's just like if you was to go to the beach in Florida, to some white sand beaches in Florida, as opposed to going to the beach on the Mississippi River. You know what I mean? So that's kind of comparable there. So he was also upset, saying, this man want me to go wash in this Jordan River, this old dirty river, you know? And so what happened was Naaman began to complain, and he was upset over certain things that did not happen or that he expected in getting his healing from Elisha. And so, you know, he was asking, why he want me to go wash in the river? Why not send me to a beautiful palace and put me in a palace tub with a whole bunch of beautiful maids to come and wash me down? And why not, you know, why is he just telling me to go down to the river? There's such other places that's much more cleaner, much nicer, much more elaborate. Why not do something like that? And Naaman's officers, his entourage that was with him, you know, they was listening to this man, and they had a lot of respect for him. But they checked him. They put him in check. And they said, sir. They said, sir. So they tried to reason with him. So I want to read what they said here, what happened in this situation. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. So if you want to go back and read this whole story for yourself in its entirety, I gave you guys just a real quick summary, real quick outline, breakdown of it. But if you want to go back and read it for yourself, it's 2 Kings chapter 5, okay? We're going to read here, verses 13 and 14. So after Naaman gets all upset because Elisha didn't come out to greet him himself, and he sends a messenger to tell him to go wash in the Jordan River for 7 times, and he's complaining and he's upset. This is what his officer said. He says, but his officers tried to reason with him, and they said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something amazing and challenging, wouldn't you have done it? See, this was a commander. He's a great commander in a great army. He's a warrior. You know, he's up for challenges, and he's especially up for great challenges. You know, that's the type. He's just built like that, you know. But this wasn't a challenge. The instructions that Elijah gave him, it wasn't a challenge for him. And they recognized this. And so it's like, so they said to him, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something amazing and challenging, wouldn't you have done it? He would have done it without question. They said, so why not obey him when he tells you to do something so simple? Something so simple as just going in the river and washing for 7 times. And he says, so they said, go wash and be healed. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and he washed himself 7 times as the prophet instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for another day where we can come together and be with one another, but to be with you also. Today, as we get into your word, we pray that you give us some understanding, give us some enlightenment. Father, open up our eyes where we cannot see, open up our minds where we cannot think, that we may be able to truly understand the message that you desire for us to receive today. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So the title of our lesson today, it reminds me of one of the greatest slogans probably in marketing history. And that is, just do it. You know, earlier in the year, I did I was in a teaching series and I had did a message that was titled, Just Do It. Just Do It comes from the company Nike. I think Nike is probably the largest athletic company in the world. And they have this slogan that's titled, Just Do It. Many of you, if not all of you, I'm sure are very familiar with this. And again, I talked about this in a message that I did earlier in the year. And, you know, but those three little words, just do it, you know, it's so powerful, so meaningful. Nike pegged this slogan back in 1998. And here we are today in 2001. And that slogan is still as effective as it was when they first pegged it. And this thing is just so powerful. It has so much meaning to it. Just those three little words, just do it. You know, we've been talking about vision all month long, and I know some of you are trying to figure out where and how do you fit into our vision. I know some of you are trying to figure out where and how you fit into our job that's described in our mission statement. You know, maybe on your job, you're trying to figure out, you know, you have your job, you're doing your job, but maybe you feel like, you know, there's something more, there's something different that you want to be doing. Maybe in your business that you have, maybe within your own family, or maybe in your community, whatever it is that you're involved in, you all are involved in many things and many facets of your life, many places of your life. And sometimes in those places, you're trying to figure out, where do you fit in? You're trying to figure out, where do you belong? And you may look at the vision, and the reality is this: most people, when it comes to an organization, most people do not know the vision of that organization. Most people do not know the mission of that organization. You could be working for a company forever. You can be working for a company for years. And then if somebody comes to you and say, hey, what's our mission or what's our vision statement? And you may not be able to quote it. You may not be able to give it. You may be working in a company for so long, working in an organization for so long, and you truly do not know what the mission is of that. And so once you understand the mission and once you understand the vision, a lot of people struggle and trying to figure out, how do they fit? Where do they belong? Where do they need to go in this? And how does all of this apply to them? You know? And people are trying to figure out, I know some of you are trying your best to figure out, when it comes to Crosstown Church, what's your role? How do you fit in this? Or, you know, how do you help? Where do you go to work and help to manage this vision that we have? You know, how to make sure that it's functional and that it's operational? You know, you understand the vision, you know the vision, you know the mission statement. You know, I've been telling you guys, teaching you guys this, you know, all month long. And every year I spend at least a month talking about our vision and our mission. And you're probably trying to figure out, how do you make sure that it's functional and that it's in operation? Simply put, you're trying to figure out what's your job. You know, being in leadership, being in ministry for so long as I have been, one of the things is, you know, I used to watch people overanalyze and overthink too much. You know, the people were trying to figure out this very same thing that some of you are trying to figure out, you know, and maybe in the place that you work or the organization, or maybe you're involved in some community efforts and you're just really trying to figure out, or you want to get involved in some community efforts, you know, and people so often I used to watch people all the time overanalyze things, and they would overthink things. You know, they would over investigate their next move before actually taking a step. They were just constantly over investigating before they even take a step. You know, I used to get frustrated when I would see people like this. I used to get frustrated when, you know, especially when there was so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done. There's so many things that needs to be accomplished. And I would get so frustrated when all of this work is there and people were still trying to figure out and find their place in that work. You know, all of these opportunities that are available. And, you know, we used to do things like in the ministry, we have this habit of doing this. You know, there's work to be done, but we would try to word these, you know, word it so that it would be more pleasing to people or more appealing to people. You know, like instead of calling it work, we would say opportunities. You know, we have so many opportunities at this church for you to get involved in. If there's a place that you want to get involved in, if you want to serve in this area or serve in this area, and all of these areas are beneficial to you to help you to grow in your gifts and in your talents. And there's all these opportunities, and all you have to do is just look at them. And I'm sure that you can find a place for yourself. Man, look, no. Scrap that. I got tired of that. No. These are not opportunities. Opportunities are opportunities. Yeah, they are opportunities. No, this is work. This is a job. This is a responsibility. This is something that God has called us to do. And whatever it is that you are involved in, if you are in your workplace, no, this is not an opportunity. This is work. This is a job. Yes, you're going to be fulfilled. Yes, you're going to learn something. Yes, you're going to grow. You're going to reap the benefits of it. Okay. But you have to understand and you have to be real. This is work. We have a job that we need to accomplish, and we need you to do this job in order to help the organization accomplish the things that we're supposed to accomplish. You know, so people always struggling and trying to find their place of work, and they were trying to figure this thing out and trying to figure out where do they best fit. So this is what people would say. So they would ask me, okay, you know, what do I do? You know, because I was in leadership, people a lot of times came to me, or I had the responsibility to help guide and direct people to a certain place. And, you know, so it was like, so what do I do? And, you know, they would say things like, you know, and I would try to direct people and tell people, hey, this is something you can do, or this is something you do. And they would say to me stuff like, Pastor, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray and I'm going to see where God wants me to be. Or they would say, I'm going to pray and I'm going to find out what is it that he wants me to do? You know, where does he want me to be? And what does he want me to do? Pastor, I'm going to pray about that. Okay. I'm like, okay, cool. That's fine. That's nice. And, you know, or they would say things like, oh no, Pastor, you know, I'll tell them, hey, why don't you go over here and serve in this particular area right here? We could really use some help over there. And they would say, oh no, Pastor, that's not my calling. I can't do that, Pastor. That's not my calling. I don't do that, Pastor. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, let's find something that you do. You know, let's find out what your calling is so we can help you to find that place, you know. Or they would say things like, you know, Pastor, the Bible says that we should wait on the Lord. And if we wait on the Lord, he would direct our path. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on God to tell me where he wants me to go. I'm going to wait on God to tell me or to direct my path. Pastor, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, sometimes, amen, sometimes God is saying to us what Nike is saying to the whole world. Sometimes God is saying to you and God is saying to me and he's saying to all of us, he's the same thing that Nike is saying to the entire world. And that is just do it. Just do it. We're spending too much time overanalyzing things. We're spending too much time trying to figure it out when God has just already laid it out in front of us. And he said, just do it. At some point, after all the praying that you do, at some point, after all of the asking, after all of the planning, and after all of the purposing, after all of the preparation, after all of the positioning, there must be execution. At some point, you know, you can pray about it. You can ask God all day long, planning, purposing, preparing, positioning. At some point, you're going to have to begin to execute. At some point, we must begin to perform. You know, we must begin to go from talking to what? Walking. You know, from thinking to stepping. What do we have to do? At some point, we're going to have to just do it. You know, I could tell people all the time, you know, when they would, you know, I would help them, you know, try to find their place or try to find where they're best fit. You know, I would help guide people and direct people to a place where they can actually get involved and help with the vision, help with our mission and help do the things that God has called and purposed for us to do. And in doing that, you know, I would tell people that it's not that complicated. You know, people would make it so complicated. I would tell them it's not that complicated. You know, I would tell them, you know, there's a list we have in this church. We have a list of jobs that have already been defined. We have a list of jobs that have job descriptions to them. So you can actually take the list. You can go through the list and you can look for something and you can actually read the description on every job that's available here in this church. And all you have to do is do what? Just pick one. Just pick one. That's all you have to do. You know, I remember years ago when me and Marguerite, the church that I had, was pastor on full-time staff with for over 20 years. I remember when we first started going to this church, and there was it was a new church. I think it was probably like 2 years old at the time, maybe like 200 or 300 people at the church. I mean, it was a brand new church, okay? And so we got there, and somebody had heard through the grapevine that me and Marguerite sang, and it was the lady. She was the children's pastor at the time. And we hadn't gotten involved. We only been in this church maybe a couple weeks. It was more than a week. Okay. A few weeks. Let's just say a few weeks. We was at this church. And we was making this our church home, okay? It was like, we know this is where we're going to be. This is where God has sent us, okay? This is where we're going to be. So this lady, she was the children's pastor. And she came to us and she said, after church, she said, hey, I heard that y'all could sing. And my eyes got big, man. wait a minute. Who told you that? Because I can't sing, you know? And I was like, she can sing. I can't sing, you know? And she's like, somebody told me y'all was in the choir at the church that y'all used to go to. Yeah, who's in the choir? You know how many people in the choir? A whole bunch of people. You can hide in the choir and not know how to sing. All you have to do is learn how to lip sync and hum a little bit, and you can look good up there. I said, that's me. I'm a good hider in the choir. She's a good singer in the choir. And that lady, she asked us, she said, well, listen, we need some help in our children's ministry. We need some more people on our praise and worship team. We need some more singers. And she said, we would love it if you guys would come and help us out. Woo! I was like, wait a minute. You know what I said to her? I said, we'll pray about that. We're going to ask God to lead and direct us somewhere we need to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just got here at this church. I mean, we just still here new at this church. We're trying to find our place or whatever, you know. And she was like, you know, yeah, well, just think about it. Pray about it. Okay, cool. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, we talked about it. And you know, a week or a couple weeks went by. And I was like, me and Marguerite both were like, you know what? They need some help. Bottom line is, they need some help. We ain't the best singer. I ain't the best singer. She sings a whole lot better than me. But I was like, you know, it's not even about the quality of us being able to sing. And like, man, if I can't sing, I can take the things that I do know about singing, because I was in the choir, and I can help them with what I do know. I can help them with what I do have, you know. And if I don't have it, I can learn. You know, I'm teachable. Okay, show me what. So we went to her and we said, hey, you know what? We don't have no experience singing on a praise and worship team. We sang in the choir. You know, it's different from a praise and worship team, but you know, we're willing to give it a try. We'll give it a try, and we'll help out where we can help out. And that move right there led me to a full-time job in that church. That was the very first move that led me to a full-time job at that church. We got involved, and we became a part of the praise and worship team. They eventually, in no time at all, hired me to be a full-time pastor and took over the children's ministry. And I advanced from, you know, after so many years of being a children's pastor, became the youth pastor, and then ultimately the assistant pastor of this church. But it was that very first move, someone saying, hey, we need help in our children's ministry, which singing on the praise and worship team, which we had no experience in doing, it opened up so many doors for God to do what he wanted to do to help in fulfilling the vision and accomplishing the mission of that church. But what it also did, it brought so many blessings to us and to our family. Just pick one. You know, so often people will respond when I would tell them, just pick one. They will respond, but Pastor, God hasn't spoke to me yet. God hasn't spoke to me yet, Pastor, on which one I should do. I'd say to them, this is what I would say to them. Listen very carefully. I say, listen, you come to this church week after week, expecting me to deliver a word from God, or expecting, you know, a pastor to deliver a word from God. I said, you listen to us preach and teach his word week after week. I said, you have trusted us to be his representative in this body, in this church. You've trusted us to represent God. I said, is it possible that God has already spoken to you? Is it possible that through our preaching and our teaching that he has already given you a list of things to pick from? Is it possible? You trust us. And, you know, some people, you know, they're just like Naaman. Some people are just like Naaman. They get upset that God himself didn't tell them what to do. Naaman went to see the prophet. He went to see the man of God, and the man of God, the prophet, did not come out to deliver the instructions to him. The prophet did not come out and say, okay, Naaman, this is what I want you to do. The prophet sent a messenger. You know, some people are just like Naaman. They get upset because God don't come to them directly. God don't deliver a supernatural voice, or God don't deliver a supernatural experience. God don't come to direct. Instead, God sends a messenger. You know, some people, they want special treatment in getting their instructions from God. You know, they don't want to be a greeter in the church, because that might be beneath them or something. Naaman didn't want no messenger coming to him. Bruh, I'm a commander. Naaman's like, I'm a commander. I'm a great warrior. You sending a messenger out to me? Sometimes there are certain things that's right there, right in front of us, that we can do. And because they are so simple, we may treat them like they're beneath us. Because this messenger was just a common, simple person, Naaman kind of felt like that was beneath him. You know, people, they don't want to help in the kids ministry or the children's ministry or the youth ministry. You know, so often I would approach people and I say, hey, you know, there's so many places in the children's ministry for you to serve, or there's so many places in, you know, the nursery and the preschool ministry or the youth ministry there. We need a lot of help in those areas, because these are some of the areas that it's so difficult to get people involved in. People don't want to come to church and deal with kids. They just don't. You know, and I would try to get people, and they would say, they wouldn't tell me, you know, this is what they would say. They would say, that's not my calling. Because to say that's not my calling, they're putting a higher emphasis on what their gift is. They're putting a higher emphasis on what their talents are. They're putting a higher emphasis on what they believe God wants them to do. And they would say, that's not my calling. And essentially, they would be saying, that's a little bit beneath me, Pastor, to work with the kids. You know, they would not want to help with, you know, with set up or tear down. You know, there was different things that we had that required, you know, some work, where people, you might get a little sweaty, you know, you might get a little dirty, you know, you might have to use a little bit of muscle in order to get this work done. And people would not want to do those type jobs at the church, because they wanted to come to church with their Sunday best on. They wanted to come to church with their, and then that's, we understand that. That's perfectly fine. We know you want to look good coming to church, but, you know, we still got a job we got to get done, you know. A plumber don't go to work with a suit on. They just don't. And so we would tell people, they was like, they don't want to get sweaty. They don't want to be musty or anything like that. Bring an extra stick of deodorant and a wet towel and soap. We got a shower here at the church. We got showers. You know, you can bring a change of clothes and shower right before church and clean yourself up. I used to do it. And people, there's certain jobs that people would not do because they want to be in their Sunday best. And we understand that. So we did what we could to try to accommodate that. But the problem is, people want special treatment. Naaman wanted special treatment. He did not want to be treated like a commoner. The prophet Elijah told Naaman to go and to wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he would be healed. Elijah didn't even go out to meet Naaman. He didn't even go out to greet Naaman. Naaman didn't even set eyes on the prophet's face. Didn't even see him. Some people are dissatisfied with God himself because he personally don't come to them and tell them what he wants them to do. Naaman complained about being told to go wash in the river. You know, that was too dirty for a commander to go into. That washing the river is not something that a commander does. You do that for the peasants, not a commander. Too often people, they complain over something so simple and so plain. They complain that they didn't get special treatment. And so often people, they miss their blessing because they are waiting on God and they are waiting on special treatment. When Naaman finally did what the man of God told him to do, he got healed. The Bible says that his skin was like that of a young child. So often people are missing their blessing. They're missing their healing because they're waiting on special treatment from God. When all the time, God has already sent a messenger. And he'd already provided a list of instructions. He didn't already provided a list of things to do. And he's saying the same thing that Nike is saying to the whole world. While people are waiting on God himself, while people are waiting on special treatment, God is doing, and he's saying the same thing that Nike is saying to the whole world. And God is saying, just do it. Naaman's officers told him, just obey. And then when they were saying, just obey, all they were saying was, just do it. They're like, dang, Naaman, you tripping. Okay, they say he a prophet. You done came all this way to see this prophet that you got word from a maid. You got word from a maid. Listen to this now. A maid told you to come here, and here you are. Now go figure. And you complaining. So if you're going to complain, why would you even take the word of a maid in the first place? But you hear, but just do it. And as soon as he did, he got healed. And not only did he just get healed, he got special healed. He had skin of a young child. God wants us to know that there are some things that's right before us, that's already been delivered to us, and our blessing is on hold because we still just haven't done it. I want you guys to really think about your own personal life right now. I want you to really think about, you know, your family. You know, what is it in your family that God has already spoken to you about? He's already laid it out there, and you're still trying to analyze it. You're still trying to figure it out. You're still trying to plan it, and you haven't executed anything yet. What about your financial situation? What about your job situation, or you have a business, and there's things in your business that you've been constantly planning and purposing and trying to move forward to the next level and trying to just get to a certain place. And it just seems like, you know, you're just stuck in that same place. I really want you to think about so many different areas of your life and ask yourself the question, do you have a vision? Do you have a mission? So often when you get off track or when you feel like you get stuck somewhere, go back and look at your vision. Go back and look at your mission. What's your purpose? Why did you start this in the first place? Why did you even begin this process in the first place? And when you go back and you look at that thing, it will motivate you. It will inspire you. It will give you some clarity on what you're supposed to be doing. It will give you clarity on who you are. And then you can look at that and be like, dang, I'm stuck over here. And that's not even where I'm supposed to be. This is not even connected to my vision. This is not even connected to my mission at all. I got to get myself back on track to my purpose. And this is my purpose. And once you do that, then look at that thing. And when you look at it, so, okay, here's things within our mission that we got to get done. Here's work. Here are some jobs within the mission. And when you see all those jobs in the mission, what do? Just pick one. You don't have to try to accomplish all of them at the same time. I mean, if you're running a business by yourself, you don't have to try to accomplish all of them at the same time. Just pick one and work on that one. You know, if you're in a company, if you're in your job or wherever you work for and you feel like you're stuck, go back and look at your job description. Go back and look at your job description and look at when you look at your job description, you say, oh my gosh, these are some things. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing a whole bunch of other stuff. Maybe maybe some of the other stuff that you're doing is not even your own fault, but maybe it is your own fault. Maybe you allowed for people to put responsibilities on you that wasn't even yours to begin with. But even with that, if you go back and look at your job description and you start performing your job description to the best that you can do. I'm talking about the thing that you're supposed to do. Sometimes on our jobs, and this is, I notice to be true. Sometimes on our jobs, our performance reviews are low, not because of all the extra stuff that we're doing. It's because of stuff in our job description that we're not doing well or not doing at all. Because when your superior, your boss, your supervisor, whatever performs a performance review on you, guess what they're performing it on? They're performing it on your job description. I know this because I used to do job reviews, mid-year reviews and end-of-year reviews. I did them all the time. I did them every year. And so when I did a review on somebody, it had nothing to do with all the extra work that they did. It had something to do with their job description, because every single time I sat there in front of them looking at their job description and going down the list of their job description and basically grading them on how they're doing based off of their job description. And then if they had a whole bunch of extra stuff that they was doing, they just got some kudos for that. Sometimes maybe you're stuck because you've gotten off track of your vision. Maybe because you haven't looked at your mission in a long time. So I just really want to encourage you guys, when it comes to your personal lives, when it comes to Crosstown Church of Memphis, look at our mission, look at our job descriptions, look at the things, and just pick one and just do it. And when you do, that's when you'll start seeing some blessings that you weren't even expecting. Naaman knew, he believed that he was going to get healed. That's why he traveled to go see the prophet. He went through all the work to go see. He believed that he was going to get healed. I very seriously doubt that he thought he was going to have the skin of a young child.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.